You're listening to audio from The Village Church. If you'd like to check out more resources or donate to this ministry, please visit tvcresources.net.
Well, if you have your Bibles, go ahead and grab those. We're going to be in Psalm 37 this weekend. Like many of you, Lauren and I are just trying to find the new normal. It struck me this week, and I guess it was kind of humorous for me, that it really doesn't matter how you're wired. There's no real winning here. Lauren is a little bit more of an introvert than I am, and she would like some time just by herself, and there is no time by herself unless she kind of vanishes. But then I'm an extrovert, and I need people, and I can't get that either, and I don't know about you, but Zoom calls and FaceTime, and that praise God for that common grace, but it's just not the same. In fact, one of the reasons I'm going to continue preaching sitting down, despite the fact that I hate it, is partly to remind myself that although this is a common grace of God that we get to gather together digitally, the intent of God is that we would be together in person, face to face. And so I'm going to constrain myself as a physical reminder that things aren't what they're meant to be. Now, I could feel myself getting a bit frenetic earlier this week. I'd exhausted kind of the conversations with wife and kids. I don't know that Lauren's like, I think she's probably ready for me to get back to the office, you know, so pray for her. But so I found myself just walking outside. I have a better relationship with our animals now than I think I ever have. Found myself talking to one of the horses next door yesterday for a little bit, just kind of petting and getting to know and introducing myself and sharing my testimony. And we have walked our neighborhood more times in the past week than I think we have in the 3 or 4 years kind of combined. And so I'm guessing that's most of us right now. We're trying to find a place to work in the house. We're trying to not get frustrated by little things. We're just trying to find the rhythm. And so I just bless you as you seek that, bless you as you fight for that. Here's what I want to do in our time together. I said last week that I'd be focusing on two things in this season, that God is with us and that God is with us in the mess. And so I wanted to go to Psalm 37 because in Psalm 37, we see that David is an older man. So he has endured some pretty epic highs and some pretty horrific lows. And out of his experience, he's beginning to address men and women who are, the word he uses in the psalm is fret. And fret is used three times in 8 verses here. And the word fret in the Hebrew actually means to be gnawed at, all right, or to be devoured. And I think if we're honest, many of us are experiencing a kind of spiritual, emotional, intellectual gnawing at, fretting, anxiety, concern. And so David is going to speak to that fretting and how to overcome that fretting, overcome that gnawing sense, that anxiety, that fear with the weapon of delight. And so I've just entitled today's message and next weekend's message, Cultivating Delight, as we consider how cultivating a delight for God, a delight for Jesus Christ in our soul is actually the antidote for the fret or the anxiety or the fear or the loss of control that we are feeling in our hearts that might be expressing itself in a variety of ways. But with that said, let's look at the book. Psalm 37, we're going to start in verse 3. I think your screen will say through verse 7, but I'm just going to go through verse 6. Starting in verse 3, he says this, "Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness." And this is the verse that everyone knows. "Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart." Now, I wish I had more time in these messages, but I want you to notice this doesn't say that when you get the desires of your heart, then delight yourself in the Lord. That's how we're usually wired in our sinfulness. But the psalmist, David, is saying, no, if you delight yourself in the Lord, if that's the emphasis, not the desires of your heart, but delighting yourself in the Lord, then you'll get the desires of your heart. See, the two are connected in a way that if the desires of your heart are first, you'll never actually delight yourself in the Lord. And we see this continually through the scriptures, that when God blesses His people, they tend to forget where the blessings come. But where their hearts are simply delighting in Him, the blessings flow. Look there now in verse 5. "Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him and He will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. And so what we have here is you got delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. And then flanked before and after it are kind of tools by which we can cultivate that delight. And there's three of them that I'm going to address today. And I'll give those to you just so if you're an outliney kind of person, you can go ahead and do that. The first is that we need to trust the Lord if we're going to cultivate delight. The second is that we need to do good. And then lastly, we need to commit our ways to Him. And so that's the outline. And so let's start with trust in the Lord. You see trust in the Lord twice here in three verses. Now, this is important for us to get our minds around. Trust is not sentimental. There's not a lot of sentimentality attached to trusting in the Lord. Here's what I mean by that. If I were to throw out to you a series of verses about trusting in the Lord, like not trusting in chariots or the strength of men, but trusting in the name of the Lord our God, almost all of us are like, of course, I trust in the Lord. And yet, one of the things that's being exposed in this season is that although we might trust at a sentimental level, we're also trusting in about five or six other things. But like many of us feel the loss of control. We've seen our salaries cut by a certain percentage. We're anxious about whether or not we're going to lose our job. We're concerned about what's going to happen. We're worried for our kids in the loss of these kind of epic points in their life. I have a dear friend whose daughter turned 14 yesterday. That birthday was just kind of we're going to do what we can here at the house. You can FaceTime your friends, but we're locked in. I've got friends that have had their salaries reduced. I've got friends that have seniors in high school, and it's certainly they're not going to finish their senior year the way they were hoping to, and on and on and on we could go. People have lost their jobs. Businesses are starting to shut down. And so what this is an opportunity for us to reorient again, although painfully, reorient that we're going to trust in God. See, the reality is you don't quite know if you're fully trusting in the Lord or you're partially trusting in the Lord while you have these things. And so one of the things that has happened is, man, if you've got a control idol, that has certainly been exposed as you've experienced the lack of control. If you have put your trust in your savings account, there's going to start to be some stress on that. If you have put your trust in your capacity to continue to climb the ladder or to do this or to do that, and you've seen the loss of those things, I want you to lean into that because God is accomplishing something in the mess. Remember, God is with us, but He's with us in the mess. So what is He exposing in this season? Well, I know one of the things He's exposing is where we've trusted things more than we've trusted Him. And so the good right thing is not to feel shame, is not to punish yourself for that, but to receive this as what it is, a sweet conviction of God and the invitation into deeper dependence on God to come through for you, to provide for you, to give you what you need. This is how we cultivate delight. We say, my trust is in you. Now, how do you lean into, how do you kind of grow in your trust? Well, I think there's two ways that you can go about that. The first thing that the Bible would command us to do is practice remembrance. To remember how God and where God has come through, has delivered you, has rescued you, has won a battle for you that you couldn't win for yourself. And so for me personally, there's three of those. The first, and if you're a Christian, you share this one in common. The first is my salvation. The truth is I was not looking for the Lord. I was not going, I want to become a Christian. That's not where I was. In fact, I had a different kind of view of what a Christian was, and I certainly didn't want to be one. And yet God came and found me. He lifted me out of the muck and the mire, and He put my feet on a rock. I need to remember that. I need to remember that I was in a football locker room when a football player told me, hey, I need to tell you about Jesus Christ. I need to remember that God saved me. I didn't save me. He came and got me. He came and rescued me. He had a plan for me. He came and delivered me from my sinfulness. This is true about you too. It doesn't matter if you grew up in a home that wanted nothing to do with Jesus, or you grew up in a home where literally, I've talked about this for years, whether your mom gave birth to you on the altar and the pastor picked you up and smacked your bottom, and the first thing that came out of your mouth was Jesus, and you were baptized on that day. Still, Regardless of the home of origin, God is the one that saved you, ransomed you, chose you, drew you to Himself. Remember, God is at work in the mess of sin and death. He pulled you into salvation, into relationship with Him. The second thing that I oftentimes remember is around my marriage. I've always just kind of sworn before the Lord and to you that I'm going to walk as transparently as I can. And so I've never hid it from you that the first 7 years of my marriage with Lauren were extremely, extremely difficult. And what I mean by that is I would, and I've told you this before, but I would lay in bed at night and think, oh my God, is this the rest of my life? And just because Lauren's actually in the room with me, you need to know that she wasn't laying in bed thinking, all the dreams that I had as a little girl have come true in this man. And yet God entered the mess of our broken marriage, and by His grace alone, not just by my work or her work or us processing former hurts, but God worked in the mess and healed and is continuing to heal those broken places. And then my third one would be the cancer diagnosis that I received a decade ago, where I had 2 to 3 years to live, and here we are a decade later, and how the Lord stepped into that mess and He healed my body, continues to sustain that healing, and gave me more days on this earth to be with my children, to be with you, to be with my wife, to continue to preach and herald the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so the first thing, one of the ways that you can build trust leading to delight in the Lord that will overpower your anxiety, fretting, and that feeling of being gnawed at is to remember how God has come through for you over and over and over again. And maybe you would say to me, since we're just hanging out here this morning, just the two of us, if you were to, you know, take a sip of your coffee and then say to me, well, Pastor, all I've got behind me is a lot of hurt. Pastor, all I have is a lot of loss. What I feel most acutely is where I feel like God has failed me, where God abandoned me, where God did not come through for me. Then there's a different kind of remembrance. The second kind of remembrance is not just that we would remember these moments, but that we would lean into the Word of God, that we would take hold of the Word of God, and we would just meditate and memorize and cling to it, and then even remind God of His promises. And so one of my favorites, when I can feel gnawed at in my soul, when I can feel condemnation, self-condemnation, when I feel far from the Lord, when I feel let down, when I'm frustrated by this, or I see myself most clearly, and I don't like what I see, I love Deuteronomy 3:16, also mentioned in Hebrews 13:5, which is where God says, I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. And so I'm taking God at His word. Right? God said that. God said, Matt Chandler, I am not going to leave you. I will not forsake you. You put your name in there. You're my son, my daughter. I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. And so if you'll cling to that, maybe that's the promise for you this week. I don't know what's going on, but I know that week 3, week 4 here, there are dominoes starting to fall. And those dominoes aren't positive dominoes, if you will. And so maybe for you this week, it's that. It's Deuteronomy 3:16 on into Hebrews 13:5. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. God at work in the mess. And so maybe what you need to grow in your trust is to grab hold of those two verses and go, you have not left me. You have not forsaken me. You are at work in this. I don't understand how. I can't see how, but I'm going to trust in you because there's nowhere else to put my trust. If you think about it, the only other place you can go is to give into your anxiety, give into your fears, to be devoured by that fretting, and that's going to spill out into all sorts of self-destructive behavior and other relational destructive behaviors and patterns. And so I just want to appeal to you, brothers and sisters, trust in the Lord. You need only look to the cross to know that He is good, that He died for your sins. And so maybe I could take a moment here. If you're not a Christian, maybe you're watching this stream because a neighbor or a coworker or a friend sent this to you because you find yourself fretting. You find yourself swallowed up in anxiety, swallowed up in fear. paralyzed and terrified about what's going on and what comes next. I want to encourage you today. Here's what you can do with that anxiety. Here's what you can do with that fretting. Here's what you can do with that fear. Not with white-knuckled determination, wait for this storm to pass, but right now, in your living room, lying in your bed, looking at your phone, in your entertainment room, wherever you are in the house, you can just take those anxieties, take those cares, and you can give them over to the God of the universe who loves you and gave His Son to ransom you from sin and death. So right now, Jesus is here. Jesus is waiting. Jesus is welcoming. Cast your anxieties on Him, the Bible says, for He cares for you. We've earnestly prayed that maybe salvation would come to your household today. Maybe you've heard a lot about Jesus growing up. Maybe you remember some of Jesus by going to Sunday school or VBS when you were a kid. Maybe you've kind of been lightly connected to Christianity for a lot of the days of your life, but maybe this has exposed, I have not actually put my trust in Jesus. And so I want to invite you right now. You can pause this sermon and pick it up here in a second, but just pray a simple prayer of, I'm putting my trust in You. Jesus, save me. Save me from my sin. Save me from my fear. Save me from my despair. Save me from my anxiety. Rescue me from my rebellion. Save me, King of glory. I promise you, you'll find Jesus with open arms. Cast your anxieties on Him, for He cares for you. You're not designed to carry this. You're human and frail. He is eternal and omnipotent. Cast these cares on Him. He is Alpha and Omega, has always been, will always be. You and I are stuck within space and time. He is outside of it. He knows how this ends. He knows what He's accomplishing in your heart. He knows what He's up to in your life. Will you trust Him today? Will you lay your life at His feet? Maybe for the first time in your life today, He sees you, loves you. You haven't outsinned His grace. You haven't outsinned His cross. Like Christ has resurrected from the grave. We're just a couple of weeks from celebrating Easter Sunday that Christ came back from the dead. I mean, He's got victory over. He's got victory over your sin, over your frailty, over your fear, over your anxiety. He has the victory. Will you cast your cares on Him? He loves you. He's for you. How do you cultivate delight? Well, you trust. You trust in the One who is able. You don't trust in the one who's unable. That's where fear comes from. Fear comes because deep inside we know we can't control things. Deep inside we know these things upon which we've built our lives, they're frail and they're not going to hold up under the weight of it. And that's where fear and anxiety comes from. But if we can say You are the Alpha and the Omega, You have always been and You will always be, and You are all powerful across Your creation, the entirety of the universe, and I put my trust in Your saving work, then we can rest. We can rest because we're in His hands. And listen, if you're like, ah, gosh, yes, but what do I do? There's a link on this page. It just says, if you need prayer, and you can click that, and we're willing to pray for you. But listen, our prayers are not magical. The presence of the God of the universe is right there with you in that room. Right now, I want to encourage you again, just press pause and cast your anxieties on Him. Spill your guts out to Him. He sees you. He can bear up under the weight of your fear. This is how we get to delight. Here's how we cultivate delight. We put our trust on the One who can bear it. So that's the first thing we see in this passage. But then the second thing is, look back at the text with me, verse 3. Trust in the Lord and what? Do good, right? Do good. So one of the things we've said for years at the Village Church, because I believe it's all over the Bible, is the more that you make your life about you, the more miserable of a human being you're going to be. Now, this is true in a season not like the one we're in. It is especially true in this season. Like, caged up, quarantined, if we're constantly just thinking about us and what we've lost and where we've missed and what we need to be doing and what, man, it's going to fuel that very anxiety that we're talking about, that fretting, that being gnawed at. And so let me say that if you are a member of the Village Church, if you're a covenant member of the Village Church, I just want to commend you. I have been so proud of watching you love one another and love this community. I know there was a home group that actually did a parade and did some worship outside of Daryl and Doris Wells' home. Daryl has been struggling in a fight for quite some time and been sick. And so his whole home group like did a parade with their cars, proper social distancing out in his driveway, played the guitar, sang worship so that he could hear from the window. What a gift of God. What an embodiment of the Spirit of Jesus for you to say, we're still going to love this brother. The sheer volume of you that have walked your neighborhood, sidewalk chalked, passages of scripture, encouraging words on sidewalks. There's even been a group of you that have been active in setting up Facebook pages and other opportunities so that we might support local businesses here in our area. You have been active in the mess, and I just want to commend you for that. Here's a way that I'd like for you to think about it. I don't know about you. Maybe you guys are just godlier than we are. We are starting to feel the tension of all being in the house together. So maybe you can resonate with that. Maybe you're just like, this is my dream. I have always dreamed that no one could possibly leave the house and we'd be all on top of each other fighting for surface space, all having to make calls so that we have to outspeak one another just to get our work done. And that maybe that's been your dream, but for most of us, we can start feeling the tension building. So under this idea of doing good, yes and amen, let's continue to do good to our city. And we're working with LISD. We, as an organization, we're all over that. We're going to roll out more and more information to you in the next couple of weeks about things we're actively doing right now and opportunities you'll have to actually participate in this. In fact, again, on this page, you can click a Here to Help link. If you're a covenant member of our church, you're like, I'm here. I'm willing to do whatever I can do to help our community in this season. And we'll reach out to you and go, here are opportunities for you to serve. But one of the ways you can be thinking right now is, how can I do good to those who are in my household? As agitation grows because we're all stuck with one another without reprieve, how can I be thinking, what can I do for my spouse, for my child, for this woman, for this man that might build? How can I do good to those in my household? And so how does that fuel delight? It takes the attention off of your own fears, concerns, off of your own worries and struggles, and it goes, how can I bless someone? How can I encourage someone? And delighting in the Lord is fueled by, cultivated by, doing good to others. And then there's one more thing, and there's two pieces here in this last thing. We see in two separate places in these three verses the idea of committing, right? Befriending faithfulness or committing your way to the Lord. And so one of the things that's interesting about delighting in the Lord and this call to befriend or to commit to is that in a very real way, delight in God is given by the Holy Spirit. And so this is a quote from Stephen Charnock. He's a Puritan. And on this passage, here's how he explains the delight. This delight springs from the Spirit of God. Not a spark of fire on your own hearth is able to kindle this spiritual delight. It is the Holy Spirit who breathes such heavenly heat into our affections. The Spirit is the fire that kindles the soul, the spring that moves the watch, the wind that drives the ship. Just as prayer is the work of the Spirit in the heart, so delight in prayer owes itself to the same author. So when we see David praying As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs for you. When we see David pray, restore to me the joy of my salvation. When we see Moses cry out, show me your glory. What we're seeing is these men cry out to God for an increase in affection, an increase in delight. Delight is Holy Spirit given. It can't merely be mustered up like we're preaching. It can be cultivated, but it can't be mustered up by human will. And so this is a season where we echo these prayers of David, where we should read out loud and pray Psalm 42 and Psalm 27 and Psalm 63, that we could say, one thing I actually want and all that I desire is to be in the presence of God. Spirit, help me. I'm anxious and fearful and somewhat angry and agitated. Holy Spirit, let me delight in King Jesus. Give me a heart that loves you and wants to worship you and longs to make much of you. We pray and we ask for this delight. We plead, we take hold of God and we hold Him to His promises. Give my heart happiness in you, joy in you, delight in you. We fast, we seek, we cry out, but we also cultivate. We also cultivate. We also are cultivating trust, leading to delight. We're doing good, leading to delight. And then this command here, right? This imperative, not indicative, this imperative is to commit your ways to Him. So how do you commit your ways to Him in a way that's not duty, but oriented around delight? Well, we've talked about this, 20 years. I think there are two key questions I'm constantly asking myself as I reassess fueling my affections for Jesus Christ. They're simple questions. The first question is, what stirs my affections for Jesus? What is it that stirs my affections for Jesus? How can I get more of that into my life? And because if you're a Christian, most of the things that rob your affections are morally neutral, we still need to ask ourselves, are there things in my life that rob me of affection? Like, how can I pay attention to my life in such a way that I know when I've built my life like this, when I've said, yes, I'm single-minded, I want affection stirred for Jesus. And you'll remember this from the Greater Story series, right? How can I be single-minded in loving the Lord my God with all my heart, with all my mind, with all my strength, with all my soul, with all my might? How do I do that? How do I orient my whole world around that with my time, with my mind, with my heart, with my money, how do I do that? How do I do those things that stir my affections and begin to cut out those things that rob me of those affections? And seriously, build out that list and start to jam all that I can into my life that this fuels my delight in Jesus. This robs me of my delight in Jesus. And so just to play the game with you for a bit, I need to get up in the morning. I don't need to just roll out of bed in time for that 8 a.m. Zoom call. I need to get up and I need to spend some time with the Lord and I need to quiet my soul and I need to refuel it with the presence of Jesus and then step into my day. I don't need to sleep right up until I roll out, grab my first cup of coffee and hop on the first line of business. That's me. Maybe that's not you. I can't watch too much TV. Like I'm seeing everybody's binging shows and we've watched some things for sure, but too much TV. And I don't think the TV or Netflix is the demon box or anything like that. But man, too much of that will start to affect my affections for Jesus. And so I want to not be legalistic about this. There are some great things. In fact, Lauren and I have been watching this show on the life of Jesus called The Chosen, and we've been moved to tears on more than one occasion. It can be redeemed. It can even be used to stir our affections for Jesus. We just need to be mindful that we're not mindlessly consuming more and more. I've used the phrase marinating in our mediocrity in this season to take advantage of this season. What stirs my affections? What robs me of my affection? And here's what you need to know. Even as we begin to close out, move our minds and hearts towards the Lord's table. You are welcomed in His presence. So every weekend when we come to the table, when we take the cup and we take the bread and we celebrate the finished work of Jesus Christ, and maybe earlier you paused this sermon and you said, I'm putting my trust in you, then I would like to invite you to join us this week in a celebration of the Lord's table as we have digitally gathered here. I've seen quite a bit online this week about whether we should or should not take the Lord's table in a digital gathering. We're going to do that. We're going to do that because we have gathered in the name of Jesus, certainly not in the ideal way, but we are gathered here today, right now, thousands of you in your living room, in your entertainment room, together as households, and we want to celebrate the finished work of Jesus Christ, His broken body and shed blood. And so if you've got the elements, and let me say this, if you've got bread and grape juice or wine, I would have you get that. If you've forgotten and you're going to grab like Sprite and an Oreo, I would just ask you to abstain from communion this week. And then next week, if you can get the elements, let's just do it that way. It's just I know hearts are pure before the Lord, but this would just be a great way to say, no, we want to honor the table of God. And so if you'll grab those elements, I have mine here. So I'm going to pray for us, and then we're going to celebrate the Lord's table. And a couple of things just to consider as we move towards the table. Has the trust in your heart been exposed this week? Have you been trusting in other things? Or are you dealing with an anxiety flare, a fretting flare? Do you feel gnawed at? Do you feel devoured in this moment because you have found, oh no, my trust isn't actually fully in the Lord? Please be kind to yourself. The Lord is simply doing surgery. Conviction is always about God inviting us into life to the full. But will you spend just this moment here laying that before Him? Help me trust fully in you, and then I'll pray for us and we'll partake. Father, we come to you today so grateful. So grateful for your mercy, for your grace. You see us. You know it's scary to be us. I thank you for that beautiful passage in Hebrews that says we have an empathetic high priest, that you know it's scary to be us, and yet you meet us with mercy. You are all-knowing and we are not. You are all-powerful and we are not. You are everywhere at once, and we are stuck in our homes, and yet you see us. Encourage our hearts, build up our faith, fuel our delight. I pray even in this moment as we celebrate our forgiveness that the delight would just wash over us as those who have been purchased by your blood. And it's for your beautiful name I pray. Amen. The Bible says that on the night that Jesus was arrested, that he took bread and he broke it, saying, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, at the end of the meal, he took the cup and he blessed it, saying, as long as we gathered in His name, and this is what we're doing here, digitally gathering in His name, we should drink and rejoice. Let's remember. Father, we praise you for our forgiveness, our past mistakes, our present struggles, our future failures, fully, freely, forever forgiven in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We praise your name. We rest in you. We delight in you. Help us. It's for your beautiful name I pray. Amen. In just a moment, you'll see a slide pop up. On that slide will be two questions. The first is spend time as a household. talking about those things that stir your affections for Jesus Christ. Talk about those things that rob you of your affections for Jesus Christ. This is a great exercise to do as a household. And then secondly, the second question is about this idea of doing good. Like in what ways can your household do good this week? We're thinking about that in our neighborhoods. We're thinking about that to one another. But as we're gathered here in our household, let's ask those two questions. Cultivate a heart that delights in the Lord. I miss you more than I can communicate. I am eager for the Lord to put an end to this. God bless you. I love you.